David's Daily Digital Dollop, Dollop 21, The Real David Eagle. Well, 20 dollops under my belt. To be honest, they're really starting to rub against my lower stomach. I'm not sure how wise it was to carry on with this literal implementation of a turn of phrase. I thought it might be quite nice to mark my achievement by each day adding an individual memory stick to the underside of my belt, with each memory stick housing that day's dollop. This wasn't a problem at first, but now this project is into its 21st day, I am starting to become encumbered and weighed down by the accumulating mass of memory sticks. It's becoming difficult to undo the belt to go to the toilet, and yesterday I just narrowly avoided an accident. I now have to prepare my toilet visits a good 10 minutes in advance to ensure that I have enough time to get my belt undone. It's not that I don't have good bladder control, it's just that the problem is further exacerbated by all the memory sticks digging into my bladder. I may have to give up the belt-based element to the Daily Digital Dollops challenge. Eventually, I'll have to prepare for the toilet so far in advance that I'll be spending the majority of the day fastening and unfastening my belt, leaving me with no time to actually write that day's dollop. I have to take a plane to Australia in March, and I doubt whether security will let me on the plane wearing a suspicious belt with 70 memory sticks hanging from the underside. Of course, I have a perfectly logical and completely watertight excuse. I am marking my daily blogging achievement by hanging an individual memory stick from the underside of my belt on a daily basis. There is a chance, however, that the airport security staff won't buy this. Even though they could technically check by reading my website and reading this very blog post. But they would probably still be suspicious, thinking that maybe this daily blog project has been a clever veneer, simply to mask my true terroristic intentions. You thought you could fool us by publishing a I don't know what this should be, surely. I'm doing an Australian accent, but I'm going from England to Australia first, so its chances are there'll be English security, unless for some reason I just thought that maybe I would be fine getting from England to Australia. But then they'd suddenly get suspicious in Australian customs. I very much doubt it. They're going to be English, I think. You thought you could fool us by publishing a daily blog and podcasts featuring George Formby parodies and light-hearted anecdotes about your life. But we've seen right through your disguise. I'm thinking you've got something to hide, my friend. There's obviously something going on with that accent. Then, just to be sure, they'd do a Google search for David Eagle ISIS and find my blog post in which I joked that the hacking group Anonymous might shut me down if I wrote ISIS over and over again. But they wouldn't see the joke, and I'd be given an anal cavity search, and they'd find the drugs. So I think it would be prudent to curtail my belt-based project for the good of my mental and physical health and my Australian drugs baron friend. I once had a dream in which I was at an airport going through the security checks. I was being frisked when an alarm started to sound. I was taken into a room and informed that I would need to have an anal cavity search. I think there was a part of me that was aware that this was only a dream, and so I was confident that, fortunately, I would wake up very soon. Normally, when I'm having a nightmare in which something really shocking is about to happen, such as being chased by a wild animal, I wake up just as the animal is upon me, sparing me having to vividly imagine my own death at the hands of a savage, ravenous beast. Oh, it reminds me of my ex. Oh, little joke there, everybody. Extra joke there that you don't get on the written version of the blog. It's our little special club, this, isn't it? The man put on his glove and lowered my trousers and pants. But still, I slept on. The man then began to apply some very cold lubricant to the parting in my buttocks. And still, I remained asleep. The man slowly began to insert a finger into my anus. And yet, I slumbered on. It felt like the man was up there for ages. Surely this is roughly on the same scale of horror as the being chased by a wild animal dreams. But apparently not, according to my subconscious. So I had to just lie there while my brain gave me a vivid experience of a man poking and prodding about for a good few minutes inside my backside. Even my own brain hates me. I wonder whether Chloe will find me reading that part out on the podcast Erotic. Did you enjoy that, Chloe? Let us know. In other non-anal cavity-related news, I finally regained access to my Spotify account yesterday, after 2 months of not being able to log in. Spotify was also one of the companies that I dealt with in Tuesday's battle with the machines. For some reason, I was logged out of the Spotify phone app. Upon trying to log in, I was told that my username or password was incorrect, even though it wasn't. I tried a few more times over December, and still it wouldn't work. But I was so busy gigging with the young'uns that I didn't get around to doing anything about it. Over Christmas, I tried logging in on the laptop, but that also failed to work. I kept getting the message back that my username or password was incorrect. Eventually, I clicked on the link that said I'd forgotten my password, even though I hadn't. I thought that I'd give the machines their tiny victory if it meant getting access back to Spotify. But the evil machines weren't finished with me yet. They weren't happy merely getting me to admit that I had a lousy memory, even though I didn't, which is what makes the joke all the more funny to the evil machines. When I typed my username and clicked the reset password link, I got a message saying that my username did not exist. I had the option of typing in my username or my email address, and so I tried my email address, but I was informed that my email address also did not exist. The evil machines were trying to get me to accept that I no longer had an identity. But I knew that my username and email address did exist and were correct, and that my password was also correct. I wouldn't let the machines win. I would have to prove that I did exist. I decided to try and create a new Spotify account using my old credentials. If my email address and old username were accepted by the machine, then I would know that my information had somehow been deleted from Spotify's records. I entered my information and clicked Create Account. But I was informed that I could not have that username or use that email address, as they were already taken by another user. Yes, I know. Hello, that's me. I was being told that my username and email address did exist, but then I was being told by another part of the website that they did not exist. Of course, Spotify was still happily taking my money, regardless. I needed to speak to a human, for I knew that there was no point in trying to bargain with a machine. They do not appreciate having to communicate in English, for it is the language of their human masters. The only way of having any chance of effectively negotiating with a machine is to communicate in binary. But my knowledge of binary is very patchy. Off and on, you might say. Although I have started reading up on binary so that I am prepared to parley with the machines if they should ever overthrow their human masters, which, if Stephen Hawking is to be believed, might very well happen. So, I am currently reading Binary 101, which is said to be the definitive guide on the subject, having received many 0101 star reviews. Oh yes, I'm doing binary jokes now, my friends. Anal cavity searching and binary jokes. Don't try and pigeonhole me. I am a blogging maverick. Eventually, I got around to doing something about it this week. I contacted Spotify support, explaining the situation. I got a response back saying that they were now investigating my issue. In the meantime, they wrote, we have taken the precautions of suspending your account. This will mean that neither you or anyone else will be able to use your Spotify account. Well, I thought that this was a bit of a redundant sentence, given that the reason I was contacting them was because I couldn't access my account, so I was already locked out. I was suspicious as to whether this message was even sent by a human. It had taken me quite a while to find out how to contact a member of staff at Spotify, as the website insisted that I read their frequently asked questions pages first to see whether my problem could be solved that way. Eventually, after repeatedly clicking the link that said, "This still doesn't fix my problem," I was allowed to email a human. But now I was starting to think that this was just another machine winding me up further. The next day I got another email from Spotify support saying that they needed me to prove that I was the real David Eagle. They wanted me to prove this by sending them a copy of my Spotify payment receipt and also my PayPal invoice ID. I was informed that I could find this information by simply searching my email inbox. I managed to find my PayPal invoice ID, but a Spotify payment receipt was eluding me, given that Google Mail seems to now have become a bit blind unfriendly of recent. But then I had a realization. How does searching my inbox prove that I am the real David Eagle? If I wasn't the real David Eagle, then I obviously had access to his emails, given that I was having a conversation with them via email. So bearing that in mind, all this exercise proved was that I'm able to search an inbox, which ironically, a non-blind David Eagle imposter could more easily accomplish than the real David Eagle. I emailed them back explaining this. I was still unsure whether I was even talking to a human being, as this seemed like another machine-like prank. I also gave them a link to the contact page on my website. If they wanted to really prove that I was the real David Eagle, then they could contact me on that and ask me whether I had had both my Spotify and my emails hacked. Although perhaps this still wasn't definitive proof. After all, the fake David Eagle might have hacked into the real David Eagle's Spotify account, hacked into his email account, and then hacked into his website and began publishing a daily blog. I think I'd finally floored Spotify support with my impeccable logic, and they conceded that I probably was the real David Eagle after all, and I was given access to my account once again, along with an apology and a thank you for going through their security checks, even though their security checks were completely stupid and pointless. Still, their security checks could have been a lot worse. At least they didn't request me to have an anal cavity search, otherwise I think I'd have gone running straight to Napster.